The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. The Jews asked for an explanation. Why are you doing this? And what does our Lord immediately point to? But his resurrection. Because there can be no greater proof of who he is or why he did the things that he did than the fact of his resurrection, because that is the greatest manifestation that he is God. My brothers and sisters, when will we come to understand, when will we receive an explanation for everything that has happened in our lives? Only when we finally share in his resurrection in the glory of God in heaven. But we begin to enter into and glimpse the mysteries of God in our lives and begin to understand, okay, Lord, why is this happening to me? When we start to understand that which St. Paul speaks about in the second reading today, you are the temple of God. If you are in Christ, he lives in you and you live in him. And so we begin to understand, okay, Lord, why are you allowing these crosses or these trials or these evils to take place in my life? Because my Son lives in you. And you are to share in his death in order to share in his resurrection. He wants to die anew in you, to put to death everything in you that is not of him, so that you can be one with him in his resurrection. I remember I understood this most fully when my little sister Katie, she came back from spending a bit of time with the Missionaries of Charity in Armenia. And these sisters raised, at that time they had 30 little kids, between they were newborns to 18 years old. And one whom she became particularly attached to, this little boy about a year old, and this boy was born with water on the brain. And while Katie was there, he was coming to the end of his life and suffering terribly. Eventually, his head would explode, right? The water would seep in and he would die. And the last few days of his life, the sisters would stay up all night long holding him, trying to console him, and he would cry and cry and cry. And right towards the end, Katie said to the superior of the house, she said, "Sister, I don't understand. Why would God allow such a thing? This child is totally innocent. He's done nothing wrong." And the sister said to my sister, she said, "Katie, we will not understand these things until we are with God in heaven. But do not forget that this little boy has been baptized. Jesus lives in him. And so every ounce of his suffering is not wasted. It is for the salvation of all the world." He lives in us, and we live in him. We are temples of God if we are united to Christ. And it's the only explanation, ultimately, for everything that God allows in our lives. It's so that we can share in the life of his Son forever. At the end of time, the entire church, the temple of Christ's body in this world, will be destroyed, or at least apparently so, just as the body of Christ was destroyed as he hung upon the cross. And it was through his death that he rose 3 days later. And it will be through that final Passover of the church that the entire church begins to share in the glory of God, because that will issue forth in his second coming. The Catechism says this: before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. The church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover. And all the trials of the church down through history, they're little shares in this ultimate Passover, in different places and different times with greater or lesser intensities. But what will the end be? The Catechism says this: those who are united to Christ will form the community of the redeemed, the holy city of God, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. She will not be wounded any longer by sins, stains, self-love that destroy or wound her earthly community. The beatific vision in which God opens himself as an inexhaustible way to the elect will be the ever-flowing wellspring of happiness, peace, and mutual communion. We ask our Lord to allow us to penetrate ever more deeply this profound mystery of our faith, that we are the temple of God, and that we see all things in that light.